here looking at the Gemara Mem Vav of Days, the Mokor for of Araya, Havamina is that it's a Pasuk. Maskana is no, it's a Svara, and the Ayah said the Pasuk is superfluous. No, the Gemara says Pasuk used for a different, unrelated din, Niskakum, the din of Niskakum to the people. Right? The number one, that Gemara is Shver in light of the Gemara of an Aleph, which makes it clear that Hamot Mechrav Araya is certainly not a Dover of Pashas. And Tosas and Shmuz told us that normally Kras Svara is a Dover of Pashas. Question number two, which Achronim raised, is what's with this Rashi in Gittin? Chesim Beit, you know, that's right, Gittin. Rashi quotes the Hafni of the Gemara of Kam. Ah, Hamot Mechrav Araya? Yeah. And by the way, it comes from a Pasuk. From a Pasuk. How's Rashi getting called the Havina of the Gemara Malkam? That wasn't a Maskana. Maskana was that's a Zohar. So Achronim raised this differently. The Rashash just sort of points it out. Rashash again says, oh, and by the way, the Maskana of the Gemara, you look at the Gemara Malkam and see the Maskana was that's a Zohar. So surprisingly, they're not bothered by it. And then Noah made a suggestion yesterday that maybe Rashi thinks it's not sure. Maybe Rashi is just trying to demonstrate that Motzimech of Araya is a din d'oraisa. So the fact that the Gemara initially wanted to quote a pasuk and then drops the pasuk only because it's not necessary indicates that certainly the Havamina Motzimech of Araya was a din d'oraisa, and that premise of the Havamina clearly survives into the Maskana. We didn't say, oh, no, we have no pasuk and maybe it's not even the right. So we said, we don't even need the pasuk. So clearly that svara itself is strong enough to generate a din d'oraisa. So that perhaps is why the Rashash just thought it wasn't difficult, just pointed out, you know, in terms of details, the Gemara has a maskana's different source, but maybe Rashash's point was just that d'oraisa. And Yeshua is bothered, is downright bothered. Yeshua is downright bothered. He said, what on earth? Bizarre Rashi. Rashi and Gittin. Right? You come off saying that. Yeshua has a fascinating approach. Yeshua talks about it extensively in Gittin, and that I put into packet number three. And he himself says, you should have to take a look at what I wrote on my Chiddush and Bava Kama, here, where we're up to, on our Amud and Bava Beis, that I put in the packet number four. And the same idea, more or less the same idea, is conveyed more bikitzur in the Teferes Yaakov. Teferes Yaakov is the same for Gittin, close to my heart because I think that he was my great 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 grandfather, Yaakov Gesundheit. That was his name. I do know that I'm descended from the Gittel Gesundheit. And I know that, if you read the introduction to the Sefer, he had a daughter, Gittel, and the names and places, it's the same city, the same time. It's hard to imagine there were that many Gittel Gesundheits running around in Krakow at the same time. So that would be like you know, the bullying of the playground has to be pretty severe. Like, your last name is Gesundheit. She went ahead and instead married a man whose last name was Klopfisch. That kind of was a step up from Gesundheit. Okay, aside. So the Teferes Yaakov and Bnei Yeshua, neither one quotes the other. They both seem to be giving a similar approach. And that is the following. Be methodical with this over the course of morning here. Right? So what do they both suggest? What they both suggest is that maybe one kasha answers the other. How do you understand fish? They never raise sort of the first kasha directly, but it seems like it's pretty clearly in the back of their mind. They never reference Tosfos and Shavuos. Everyone knows Tosfos and Shavuos has to look at. It definitely seems like from the back of their mind to recognize the following. To think of this sort of more nuanced way about the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, to recognize, number one, that Rav and Shmuel both accept Hamotz Nef Gero Baraya. It's a question of how many cases you apply. As Rav says, you only say Motze Nechveo Varaya here, okay, because you'll use your imagination. And Shmuel says you can even use a Motze Nechveo in these cases. Okay. So they all agree, for now, okay. Use your imagination. You know where the marker was, it just didn't leave a permanent relation. Rav says that there's a limited number of cases you say Motze Nechveo Varaya. Only cases that Rav says you say Motze Nechveo Varaya, but not connected to Rome. But not connected to the Bari Meshech. So that's pretty obvious. Yeah. I say you owe me money. I say I owe you money. I say you owe me money. And you say no. My word against your word. Bari versus Bari. That seems pretty self-evident that you should get whoever the most I should keep it. Everything's evenly stacked. There's no reason to perform on one or the other. And whether the most looks. So of course the most is going to win. That's pretty, the Karvalei Ki Ivaz Lebeyase. The Karvalei says, you have a problem, you solve it. Why would we think that the Muksuk should not win? Shmuel is saying, well, even a case where the Muksuk, the Motzi has the Toveya, the one coming with the claim, he's the Motzi against the Muksuk, and he tried Motzi Nechadero, he has a right. He has a role. And let's say, going back to the case of Rav and Shmuel and then Bava Bamanal, with the defective ox. Right? I sold you an ox, it turns out that it has a violent history. It has a rap sheet. Right? The cops had to cuff that ox a bunch of times. It broke this, it broke that, it broke this, it broke that. Yeah, I sold you my ox because it was a liability. And now you're stuck with this. You say, whoa, and you discover that this ox has a history of damage. You come back to me, you say, you want your money back. So I say, nothing doing. You say, wait a minute, toast. So Rav says, you win. Shmuel says, you don't win. Why? Why? Because talk to my Eskina in a situation where it's hard to know, it's not self-evident what was the purpose of buying that ox. Right? The rule indicates that you were buying it that was being bought for the purpose of work, in which case the fact that it's a non-kun is a real mum. But this is a significant meaning of cases for possibility that you were buying it to shaft, in which case the fact that it's a non-kun is irrelevant and it does not make a mekhaftos. So the rove is it's a mekhaftos, you're entitled to a refund. And the mirror does not mekhaftos, you're not entitled to a refund. Right? The Rav says you follow rove, the Shmuel says no. Is it self-evident that the Muslim should win? Of course not. There's a rogue. So that's right, that's a chiddush. Shmuel says the chiddush is true, but the chiddush. Chiddush requires a mucker. Svara alone is not self-evident. That's the Mikra, Ibaise, Misara language. As opposed to Shmuel's point there. So what the Pnei Yeshua and the Pharisee Yaakov both suggest is that the Gemara's whole kasha, lamuli kar Svara, our Gemara, but kind of the public faith, that kasha had only been asked Aliba the Rav. Remember yesterday when we started looking at the Gemara, I said, isn't it fascinating? All the places that the Gemara had asked Kaba, what's the Makar Matar of Araya? Poof! Like, we got lucky, it's in Baba Kaba and Bab. But Yeshua suggests, yes, in Baba Kaba and Bab also, because it's played off of specifically the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. But whether Hamas of Araya is only very narrowed in, that only applies when there isn't really any great raya against him. Or no, the Muksuk wins even when there is a somewhat significant raya against him. There is a rov against the Muksuk. There is a Bari Rishon against the Muksuk. There is a presumption, as far as Yaakov said, I lent you money, there are Edom watching, you claimed you paid me back. We had no Edom to prove it. It's a little sketchy. Wolf lent me... You got your last one. Levavas lent me... $10,000. And he asked Walt and Warburg to watch. And I say, yeah, but then last week I paid you back. And no one was watching. Really? That sounds a little funny. I have to be a little bit of a fool to do that. You have proof? Levavas has proof that he lent me money. And I would pay him back without any proof that I'm paying back. Seems a little funny. A little hard to believe that I really paid it back. Machlokas, where's Machlokas? Machtereinu. Tarif Lefareitz al Dabar. And my belief to say I paid back with a shtar, if he has a shtar, if he's holding on to a shtar, that's definitely proof that I haven't paid back, because otherwise, why sell the shtar? The Edom saw what they saw. They saw the loan, making of loan. They have no idea whether it was repaid or not. But it's a little bit of indication that it would be a little strange for me to pay back without any proof. Meaning I know there's some proof that I borrowed. But we paskin, I still win. Mosuk. Yes, it's a little bit like yes, it is funny for me to have paid back, but it's plausible. Funny but plausible. A robe against me. Good. But still, on the mosuk I win. Right? So that's all fits in when you take that approach. We pass like Shmuel. We generally pass like Shmuel in the world of Dini Mamas. That's the Gemara's rule. Machlok Rav and Shmuel, Rav wins in Isser Hetter, Shmuel wins in Dini Mamas. It sounds like Rav specialized more in Moed and Kachem, and Shmuel specialized more in Ashim Zik. The Hardal is the Yeshiva Shishiva. And let's not Ashim Zik. So it helps like Shmuel Bidini, it helps like Rav Yisur. Gemara says Rav Nachman also, who was a later Rosh Hashiba in Arda, also was had a particular specialty in the world of Dini Mamas, Nashim Zikr. So that's why the Gemara Bava Kama and Bava Beis, both of them suggest, is irrelevant to Halacha, and they have a Gevaldik proof. The proof is. How's this word? They both point out the Rambam never quotes a din in his talking with Tavei Tchila. What does that prove? The Gemara, the Maskana of the Gemara on the Bava Beis was, we don't need possible to read a Raya. Instead, we can use it. It's available for a different din. What din? The talking with Tavei Tchila. Rambam doesn't quote his talking with Tavei Tchila. Sarachim, where'd it go? Why did it disappear? They're both being Yeshua and friends having independently say, Gevaldik! Because the Gemara came to that din on the assumption that we have a free pasuk, that all the Hamas Gemara is built purely on Svara. But that Gemara, the lowly of the hills, that's going to Rav! Rav has a narrow din of the Varayah, so now the pasuk is free, to instead teach a din is called Tevet Tila. But we don't accept Rav. We have a much more robust din of Hamas Gemara Varayah. So we need the pasuk for that. We have no free pasuk left over to teach in this Kaf Tevei Tchila. We need the pasuk for Hamas Tevei itself. So Rambam doesn't even quote the din from this Kaf Tevei Tchila. Question.
So is the Mishnah saying that Sarah, the guy asking a question to Gemara, like Rav, or that it was like that both of those Kedushin are potential Kedushin are not true? Because Rav never really says that by Bari B'Shema, you don't have to prove it.
Right, the assumption is that Rav, I don't know if he has proof, but the assumption is that Rav would hold that Bari B'Shema Bari up. I don't remember whether there's a Beferish or elsewhere that says that. That is definitely what both are assuming. That also, it definitely is a Machlokas, the Bari B'Shema, the Gemara says the Beferish Machlokas Rav Shmuel. Where does it say here?
I think
Gemara's also do say it. The later Achor, that there are Talmid mostly about Machlokas. Yeah, can you take that in the first place? So, I believe so. I want to show you two more things about this, and then maybe we'll sort of put it into perspective a little bit. Number one is a fascinating, this basic concept that Yeshua and the Tzarzakim are developing, namely, that the whole Shach Bataria and the Bukhman Beit Baba Kama is only with the Rav. So that explains why Rashi, that's an approach to why Rashi doesn't quote it, because it's not a legal difference, huh? And take a look at this Yerushalmi. The Chente Lutz Yerushalmi, take a look here. Yerushalmi, it's an end, third paragraph is an end. Ketzad Danin. What is it that, right, the Shalmi calls it Tosefta, Bryce? Like, what does the Din Torah look like? Atayan and Yoshman. I mean, Danin owned it. Forget this is the Paragimel Halacha Ches to Shalmi, right near the beginning of the Gemara. The Dayanim of sinning, and then the Donim, the two parties to the Balei Din, two parties to the case, the Toveh, the Motzi, the Muxer, they stand. The Hamtoveya Poseach Bidvar of Rishon, and the Toveya speaks when he starts. This couple to that too. Right? Shemar, Mi Baldvar, Yigash Aleim. And Yerushalmi says, Ubi Nayin Shavos Neherov Araya. How do you know it's a Ferrero of Araya? Rav Krispo B'Shem Rabbi Chananiya Ben Gamliel says, Yigash Aleichem, Yigash Ra'ayosa. Same person. I'm looking at Araya from the same person. Oh! And you take a look at the Pnei Moshe, who's one of the major Mephoreshim in Yerushalmi right here. Yagish Ra'ayosa. Midalok Siv Yavo Kadosh. What's the drasha of Amatim and Rebaraya? Because it could have said Yavo, he should come. Siv said Yigash, so it means to come close, but also implies Yagish. What's the Kremosha driving at? He's trying to understand basically how you're learning two different dinim from the same bus. Because this is Rishami's knowledge. The Bible says either or. That may be why the Rambam says maybe you have to drop one. And if you have a motzvah of raya for this pasuk, you're not going to have this complicated deal. Yerushalmi is saying both without a problem. And he may just say, yeah, the way the language of the pasuk implies a second din as well. Either way, it certainly adds to the assertion that Hamotzin Echavel, the drush, having a drusha from motzvah of raya is something that can stand. The Shechter in Dinas Egos quotes from Mendel Zaks. At the beginning of Sinan is that goes Mendel Zaks was a son-in-law of Chafetz Chaim who for many, many, many years was a Rebbe and a Bochin here in Monyo. Shechter, when he was younger, he remembers here in Mendel Zaks suggests, get this, right? They look at my mother's face and they don't count. A whole new approach to this Gemara. It's the Miyash of Rashi. And Miyash of the other Kashmir, how does it fit? This is very, very speculative. The Baba base? Baba Kama and Baba base?
Who came up with this?
Mendel Zaks. He said, how does our Gemara read? I know what the way of Mariah from a pasuk. I have a svara. What's the svara? You're sick, you go to the doctor. Ah! See right! LMI! Where is the when you deposit for you deposit for his cocking the Tobaya too? Right? So number one will bother. Rashi's fair, right? Rashi getting fair. And if I'm also gonna write such a svara of Shuta, that Kasha put about well. And also the language of that svara is a little bit sticky. So Mendel Zaks suggested maybe there's alternative gears to the Gemara. Now I did look at the Dukhi Sofrim, which has some of the alternative gears from other editions of the manuscript. He doesn't have this, but that's not comprehensive. He suggested that maybe you have to do things in reverse order. He said that we should look see if there's a gears that runs like this. Minayin at this Kapman Tavei Tchila. Meet Baldavar and Yigash Aleihem. No, you're the Baldavar, you go first. Then the Gemara says, and then you start with the second and first. Where's the Svar Pshuta? Of course. Manda called like Eva's Vasa. If you have a pain, you go to the doctor. You're suing me. So of course you're going to speak first. I have nothing to say. I remember the first day of the Spirit of Yehuda. If I think that I'm right, I don't think I owe any money. So, I would not say to the mason, you have a problem, so you speak to the mason. And once you speak to them, I'll have to respond. Because, good, it's happy to come to the appeals of Svara. I waited the pasuk for. No, you're the pasuk for. and most of it in Rav Arai. Those are Mendel Zaks's reconstruction of what the Gersa and the Gemara really ought to look like. It's very clever. Sure. He suggested that maybe the Gersa should be reversed. Instead of the Gemara starting in the Motzei Rav Arai and ending with Gan Tehillah, maybe you should flip them. Maybe you should really be, you're starting this concept of Bei Tehillah. He thought that was a pasuk. They said, no, that's the Sar of Shuta. And the truth is, the language of the Gemara Sar fits very well for just talking about Bei Tehillah. Whereas, where did the pasuk for? No, did the pasuk for Motzei Rav Arai all the Raya. Were you to accept that Gersa, it solves all the problems. And they never even had a halamina, but sort of rise as a svar. It was always a puzzle. And so Rashi's Gishmak, Memphava's Gishmak, and in the language of the svar is Gishmak. It's all Gishmak. The only problem is that we have no indication that it is the Gersa. Let's bring this all together now. So again, we looked at. Let's remember what we have, and I want to sort of wrap this all up and take the next step with the Trumas HaDeshek, and we'll also point out one still open question that needs to be, a fourth question needs to be addressed. What we have so far, again, is we're looking now, beginning to look at this Gemara with new, sharper eyes. This is one of these foundational sugyas that went to Mechelev Araya, the beginning of Shar Shana Safara. We see both, the Gemara ends with the Makoros for it, Pasuk or Svara. The Gemara begins with the Machlokas about the Dinim of it. When does it apply? Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. And the Pnei Yehoshua and Tiferes Yaakov suggest that the two pieces of the sugya are intertwined. That the question of is it a Svara or is it a pasuk or merely a svara correspond to whether you have Rav's version of Elizabeth Raya, which is just a svara, or Shmuel's much more robust version, broader version of Elizabeth Raya, in which case you need a pasuk. And that explains why the Tosis and Shmuel's is not a problem. That explains the Rashi didn't kill it. Let me ask you two questions. One we'll answer now, and one we'll leave hanging. What were we saying? We're saying that the Rav says, just a before, a very basic, stripped-down version of the minimalist version of the Mishnah Berurah. All he says is it looks like wins if the other guy doesn't really have a right. It's my word versus your word. I say you owe me money, you say you don't owe me money. Okay, so then you're the looks like you win. Makes sense. Right? Makes sense. And how much in the alright. If I'm trying to be motzi from you, so I have to bring a right. I haven't brought a right. It's just my word versus your word. There is no right. Then you win. We kept it. But Shmuel, he says that the Moksik wins even when the Motzi does have a right. You have a robe, you have a Bari Hashem. And still, the Moksik wins. It's kind of funny. Because, you have a right. I must have a right. And we usually think of a right primarily being a Shmuelish din. But the truth is, what's Shmuel saying? Shmuel's saying the Muxik wins even when the Motzi has a Raya. That's not a Motzi Mechaber of a Raya. It's a Motzi Mechaber who loses.
Right.
Yeah?
I have a question for you before. If it is a Raya, it's just because it accepts certain classic things as Raya. There's a way to put it in a proper Raya, and therefore it isn't requires a lot more proof than prosperous.
Yeah, what was you going to say?
What would you most say in the case where you have a very strong indictment and then proof?
Ah, very good question. Hold on to that thought for a moment. Yeah, what else? All right. So what you're both pointing out from different angles, and we'll come to your particular angle in a moment, is that clearly what Shulman's Hadeshin expresses this, puts this out explicitly, that Shulman's Hadeshin is in today's fact, when I was talking before, that Shulman's Hadeshin is a long tshuva, which the end he writes, a line that the Ketzos picks up on, exactly the language that Dovi used. At the very end of this law of tshuva, the Tum Zadeshan, Shin Lem Tes, it's a complicated case, a very terrible case. It was a pogrom, and this was, and that was killed. Many members of the family were killed, trying to know who Yarashim Zul was, a whole very, very sad and complex, and the Machlokas, very, very sad case. Fascinating and tragic. You can read the trial if you want. Trying to figure out who died first, who died second. The order of the deaths will determine who got away, where certain people's assets end up going. So he talks about the end of the tshuva. He talks about, I put in more of the tshuva than necessary just for our sugya. The fascinating tshuva to be at a number of levels. If you have time, it's good to take a look. I did clip, as you see the three dots here and there. I cut out the still left large cuts. You look at the end of the last paragraph. I'm not near the hush of shop here. He said, near the high time on Imam Al-Qaman Al-Qaro, the days of the Ikechas Kizmaman Nega. When we say in Al-Qaman Al-Qaro, that means Rove loses to the Muslim. Okay. The non-Muslim thing could be different. Something to talk about. And he says, even though, and then he says, This is not a chazaka in the car. This is cheskas mamon. This is mosin. There's a different sense of the word chazaka. She's trying to cheskas mamon. The is be taima amot nekavera al maraya. Cheskas mamon, you have this idea of amot nekavera al maraya based on perhaps a pasuk. Veruba lo mikri raya. Rove is not called raya. That's what the pasuk is teaching. Right, especially when once you work for the Pnei Yeshua. I know Misvara that if everything is equal, the Muxer is going to win. What's the Pasuk teaching me? What the Pasuk is teaching me that they need to bring some sort of Raya is obvious. What's not obvious is what type of Raya you need to bring. Ruba lo mikri Raya, I think except Tosif. Wait, of course, Rova is not called a Raya. Of course, Rova is called a Raya. Use Rova all over shops. And what that means is, and this goes back to what we spoke of before Yom Tov, there are different levels. It's not binary. It's not either I have a raya or I don't have a raya. I have a beer or I don't have a beer. No! It's not just black or white. There's a sliding scale of how strong a raya is. And that brings what Dovid is touching on and what Rebbe was touching on. That we don't mean, the notion of Rashi uses, I believe, associated something like this, is that in quoting this Truma Sadeshan, is Hamotzi Mechaber all of Ha Raya. It's not just to bring a Raya, you need to bring the Raya, you need to bring a Raya with a capital R, you need to bring a Raya Limta. It has to be an unusually strong level of proof, more than would be required in many other areas of Halacha. That, and where you know that from, that's not self-evident, and it's not unanimous. Rav doesn't think so. But we pass like Shmuel, that there are things which are Beirur in other areas of Halacha which aren't going to cut it, Lahotzi min ha-Muxa. The Pasuk is teaching, Pasuk Yisro is teaching me that the standard of proof to be Motzi min ha-Muxa, the standard of proof is higher. There's a Pasuk which points out that there are certain situations where the standard of proof, Lahotzi min ha-Muxa, is in a certain sense higher than would be the case in a criminal, in a capital case. So shocking, comes in. But that's the Chiddush of Hamotzi Mechavera all of Haraya. Now, and what that means also, and better than point, I think this is what you were driving at, is okay, so what's considered a better Raya? What is a Raya Alimta? What is a strong enough Raya that could work even out to the most? So clearly, Adam.
That's pretty strong.
Right? That's a Pasuk. The Pasuk of Chiddush. Right? right? Shtar is a chiddush that shtar is considered to have a status of eidus. Then, you know, Rikida Eger makes the following point. And this will go back to something we discussed before Yom Tov. I think I told you then that we'll get back to this. We just said before that if you have a, if I had Aiden, then I lent him money. So machlokas amaron, whether that proves that he hasn't paid me back. And we possibly know. Even though I lent him money with Aiden watching, he could still claim that he paid me back. You know, no Aiden watching, but he didn't pay back. That works. But, so if I have Aiden that I lent you money, you can still come and say, yeah, I borrowed, but I paid back. No proof necessary. You're the most. How about I have a shtar? That already is the Tanam teaches the last paragraph of the Masra. Some of you may have seen it. No, if you have a shtar, shtar not only proves that I lent you money, shtar also proves that you haven't paid back. Why? Well, because if you would have paid back, you wouldn't pay back for that. Right. You ask for the shtar. Either you ask either for a receipt or to you want the shtar back to destroy it. The creator one, one second, how does that work? I understand. But now that I know something about something about a riot, but let's go through this. So, I walk into Basin, and I have a shtar that says I lent Richmond $1,000 2 months ago. So I have a witness that Basin certifies a valid shtar, right? It proves that that Richmond used to owe me money, right? So Richmond says, yeah, of course I lent, but I paid it back a month ago. I say, no, you didn't. He says, yes, he did. So Bezin is going to rule with who? Who wins?
The shtar.
Me. Right? Why? Because the shtar proves that he never paid back. How did the shtar prove?
Because you'd have to get rid of the shtar.
How did the shtar prove that he never, right? Now, one second. Who's the most secure? The little Richmond, right? I want his money. He claimed he doesn't owe me money. I said, no, you do owe me money. And he has the money in the bank, and I want it. Who's going to win? Me. Why? Because I have a shtar. But ultimately, what do you mean because I have a shtar? Because if I have a shtar, that indicates that he never paid me back. For sure, it's impossible he ever paid me back. No, it's possible. It's just unlikely. In other words, what do you call that in Hebrew? A rove. The key neighbor says, one second. Every single time that the Baal HaShtar wins and the Lova can't claim Harati, I paid back, that's based on a robe. The robe is, what are the chances that he would have paid back and not retrieved the Shtar? And we're making him pay money, the Mukhzuk is losing based on a robe. So to the Kivayger, what's going on? I thought we would be passing in Hokum Amenach a robe. That's like Shmuel. You can't be Mokziman based on a robe. Kivayger says, what's going on? One of the most basic dinim in part of the victim, is that if I have a shtar, that proves that you can't, if I have a shtar, you can't say you paid back. Why? That's not a people who see one, they said, oh, what's going on? You're passing like Rav, passing like Shmuel. There are probably two approaches to this. But for now, the one that's relevant right now, well, there's a fancier approach that's through the lumps of shtar. But for now, Rav Kivager's suggestion is, depends how strong the robe is. The argument to our robe of 70-30, right? What are the chances? Some people buy cows for meat, most people buy cows for work. Okay, so probably it's for work, but there's a chance it's for meat. But the robe of here, what are the chances that Akiva Richmond would have paid back the loan knowing I have a shtar and not gotten it back and not gotten a receipt? That's not like 70% chances. That's 99% chances he didn't do that. Who does that? Who pays back money when there's a shtar on it? You don't ask for the shtar back. It's conceivable that you did it, but it's not 30% chance you did that. It's a 1% chance. Mamash miyuta demiyuta. That's a level 4 rogue. Kidei, remember we saw our levels of rogue?
Yeah.
So he's going to check in the article and make that so, points out, plugs in that Rabbi Kidei here. He says, yeah, if it's a strong enough rogue, of course it'll work. But after all, it's just a question, it's not a rule of our anti-rogue. There's something more fundamental here. Rob holds that the standard of proof, is no different than the standard of proof in Israel. The rogue works! By Hashem, it works, right? Shmuel says, no, we need a much higher standard of evidence. We need a much better birur. But not that we're fundamentally anti some. We're not allergic to Rohu per se. We just need stronger birur. Stronger standard of evidence than Mr. Ben. So good, if you have a super strong Rohu, that's great. Most rogues aren't that strong, but every once in a while there will be a rogue, which is incredibly powerful. A level 4 rogue is only immune to the use against it. 99% rogue? Sure. That will work the same way a 2-8 will work. That's a Raya Alimta. So the rogue, that if I have a star, chances are he didn't get paid back, that's a super, super strong rogue. 99% chance he hasn't paid back from the star. That robe is strong enough that even Shmuel would agree, it came most from Kibbe who suggests in Tshuva, that you'd be mostly Melon based on that type of robe. We are out of time, so I will leave you with the following kasha that we'll have to pick up with tomorrow, which is, this is all very fine and nice until we remember Sumchus. Sumchus is the work that Mahal, we don't pass my Sumchus, that's a post to your topic. But this whole business of Svara Pshuta, for Rav it is a Svara Pshuta. Simchas doesn't hold of it. Simchas doesn't even hold a Rav's version of how much in the Chumash of Rav. So I'd like to explore tomorrow is, what's Simchas saying? Bechlal, Simchas also, as we noticed when he started learning the Gemara yesterday, Simchas is very surprising. Mamish. I say, Cohen, you owe me money. He says, no, Cohen, I don't owe you money. I say, yes, you do. No, I don't. Yachloku, yay! Hard to imagine that someone would say that. That's what it sounds like. So two kashas, how could someone have said it? And le'idah chisa, how could you say I'm also going to write this far of Shuta, even with Yirav, if someone doesn't hold it? So we will pick up with that too tomorrow.